What's up, everybody? It's us. We're actually here. On a day that...
Who is it?
Yeah. Hey, the topic part. There it is. The topic part is right. So we're doing a bonus edition of Value Town, given that we just did our show yesterday. And of course, Blizzard decides to have a humongous announcement, a few 12 hours after our show. And we can't wait 6 days to talk about this. So I figured I'd grab Firebat, grab Noxious, and just throw together just a super quick bonus edition of Value Town. So welcome, guys. Welcome, Noxious and Firebat. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. Just a long day of For Honoring, and then I hear turns out we're getting something cool in Hearthstone. So yeah, pretty good day. News in Hearthstone is just always rare, so I'll take it.
Yeah, it seems like it only comes once a year or so, really. Yeah. News in Hearthstone.
Short waves of changes. Like, you don't expect them, and it's like all at once. Here's a change, now here's a new change. Like, what? Within 3 days, you've exhausted all your social capital. Like, now you're fucked. Like, you need to follow up with something.
Man. Oh my gosh.
I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
Like news on the long term plans they have for Hearthstone.
Yeah, definitely. They're on top of just your standard changes on this new reset that we're about to have. There's some additional news as to what their actual releases are going to be like, or they're going to change up how their normal adventure expansion is going to be. But before we dive into it, why don't we just like show the post here, and then we can start talking about it. So they announced Year of the Mammoth proportions, which is interesting.
They've tried to pun us.
Yes, they've definitely tried to pun us here. And of course, we just finished Year of the Kraken. So they kind of start off, telling us a few things that we already know. Blackrock Mountain, TGT, League of Explorers, they're all going to be exclusive to Wild now. But then they follow up with some talk about, I guess, how they're going to be releasing, doing the three releases this year, which, in the past, we used to do one big expansion in the very beginning. At least last year, we did one big expansion. Then we did Karazhan in the summertime, which was the adventure. And then we finished it off with Gadgetzan. So expansion, adventure, expansion. And now it sounds like we're going to be doing 330 card expansions, which is substantially more cards. It's like probably almost a third more cards because of that. Maybe not third, maybe like 25% more cards.
Well, it's a huge amount if you consider the fact that usually adventures are kind of like the scope of them is much smaller.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's good. There's been like one positive adventure, and that was League of Explorers. And like every other adventure has just been a total flop, didn't influence the game enough. And all of the competitive players or anyone rank 5 and above has been like, yeah, I'm just playing the same game still. What was this?
Exactly. So we have like literally, how many months is it? It's probably like 7-8 months of the meta being pretty stagnant, maybe a deck would come in, a deck would come out, but the top tier decks, Shaman in particular, were basically there the entire time. So 130 right in the middle, I think, will be, at least give it a chance to change things up.
I think the biggest factor there is really like it's got to do with the fact that when they make expansions like adventures, what they try to do is take a few archetypes right now that exist and give them new tools. Let's say like Beast Druid. Okay, let's sprinkle in something new in Karazhan for Beast Druid, or a Menagerie type thing, where when you, with Menagerie Warden, when they do a big adventure, like a big expansion that is not an adventure, they really have like this central theme that they go off of, and they create an entire set of cards that revolve around that theme. So like, tri-class stuff that we had, and then we had in the previous expansion as well, the old gods. So everything's kind of woven in together, whereas in adventures, it's like, here's a mishmash of stuff. Good luck.
Right.
Not very coherent.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, overall, what do you got? I mean, of course, this is better than what we currently have, just because there's more cards. So I guess the question is this enough? Lots of us have been asking for more frequency of releases, even smaller ones, right? Not necessarily even 130 card ones, which are, awesome too. But what do you guys think of the frequency? Just still staying at 3. And By the way, what they talked about with the adventures, you know, when what they're going to do with the adventures, they're basically going to combine the adventures into the expansions and have like a single player option too, which is, I mean, that makes sense too. But I like it. Yeah, so overall, it's still three. We still only have three releases the entire year. So yeah. In a way, it's still a lot invested in each one. So if they have one that's off, then, you know, they can't really do much, you know, between that and the next expansion. So yeah, what do you guys think? Like Firebat.
I'm happy with the amount of releases. One thing I'm not happy with, and it wasn't really addressed at all, is the amount of balance updates that are going to happen. Like, they've shown time and time and time again that they don't get the balance 100% right on the first try.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
isn't surprising. It's not really, it's really hard to do that. No game ever gets the balance right on the first try. But yeah. what every game does is they patch it when they realize, you know what, it's not perfectly balanced. But what Hearthstone does, they refuse to patch it until they have a year's worth of data and people actually start quitting. That's when they start patching it. And I think that's too slow. I think they need to update. Like, the content's fine. If we release content too fast, that's going to deter new players. That's going to deter people from getting into the game. The price point for how much packs currently cost, it's already like $600 a year if you want to play Hearthstone. It's pretty ridiculous. Yeah. So more cards than that starts getting crazy unless they lower the cost of cards. But one thing that they can do to recycle the same content so that they don't have to create a bunch of new content, so that they don't have to like make people pay a bunch of extra money, but they can still keep the game fresh.
Yeah.
Just change a couple things, change some balance things. You know, if like Hunter really sucks, like it does now with under 2% of the population playing Hunter, then maybe, you know, at the end of the month, bump a few cards up, make them a little bit better. You know, spice the game up with just one or two little balance changes every month. I think something like that could go a really long way, and it would be very minimal effort on their side. And you know what? If it doesn't work, well, fix it next month.
Fix it
like,
again. Yeah.
You just have changes every month. Like, it's okay to admit you're wrong and constantly make changes. It doesn't need to be perfectly balanced.
Okay,
people want a fresh game. That's what's fun. They don't care if it's perfectly balanced. They just want fresh and new.
Right. Just something changing, or you know, and that, like you said, if you make a mistake, you can just change again next month, and that'd be nice.
Yeah.
So you're asking for a month frequency, which is be pretty amazing.
That's what I would ask for too. I think like to me, that is the pace that, like it's not obsessive, because I was thinking, you know, 2 weeks, like for a very competitive game, 2 weeks is fine. Like League of Legends, for instance, but we're talking about like a game we want to be more casual, and you know, we have to deploy a patch to multiple platforms. Then we're talking maybe a month makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, I don't know, like I feel like I can stomach a few weeks of the same stuff, but you know, let's say eight weeks gets long. 8 weeks is long. And since we wait 12 weeks between releases, 16 weeks between releases, that is, it's really, really old. And if you look at it that way, right now there's not going to be the whole month gating, right? Like the second expansion in the middle of the year is not an adventure, so there's no first week, second week, third week, fourth week. It's all at once. So that means that effectively, yes, we get more cards, but we also exhaust it quicker, because within the first week, you know, we've done a ton of experimentation. We're like, okay, here's the current meta game. So already 1 week in the release, we're thinking about the state of the meta.
Yeah.
Whereas with Gedatan or with Karazhan, that is, we were like, okay, what's all of this going to look like once everything is out? And it took a little bit of time for everything to settle down after the entire month. So I think not having patches would ruin the fix that this is trying to implement. Like, I think this is trying to address an issue that is not going to be solved unless more patches come in.
Yeah.
Another part time.
That's what I thought you meant at first. And I was like, what?
No.
What do you mean by that? No, that makes a lot of sense.
Another positive to like having any sort of monthly updates is the ladder resets monthly.
Oh, yeah.
If I just grinded all the way to Legend in one metagame, what incentive do I have to do it again the next month with the same cards in the same metagame? It's the same thing. It's repetitive. It feels awful.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's some, even just a little bit of changes, then it doesn't feel as grindy, because you're not doing the exact same thing over it again. There's a slight difference to it.
That's a very good point, actually. I never really looked at it that way, but the timing is perfect for like just to break the staleness once more.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're giving like a new level, because if you change things mid-season, it fucking sucks for the competitive players.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, I'm at the top of the Legend now. What's that meta shift? Guy comes in with like a stupid fucking card that makes no sense because it was changed, and suddenly your rank drops down and you haven't been, you know, practicing that environment.
Yeah, I think a month, like all those things I think you said were really good, both of you guys. Also, I think that they should have a good feel, especially after Gadgetzan, you know, how quickly things started to be figured out. How, I mean, not every single aspect of the metagame was, you know, completely stabilized after a month, but a lot of it was, you know what I mean? Like a lot of the main fixtures were in place, and maybe there's some variances, you know, a couple cards here, a couple cards there, but for the most part it was there, and it was after a month, after a full release. So for me, it does point to, you know, having 4 months between releases just still way too many. And my first thought was actually to have maybe the adventures kind of be in between as like pseudo releases. Well, that would cost more money though. So
too much content. Yeah, that's the issue. It's like anyone that's not super invested into the game at that point, like forget it. Like that's so much money they have to spend on cards.
Well, what if it's a what if it's just PvE adventures without cards? Yeah, like
yeah, it could just be a PvE type.
Is there going to release a free adventure with every set? With a theme attached.
If it doesn't have new content, then that's kind of defeats the point. Yeah, exactly. I wanted to have some.
A lot of change, but it's like just a way to sprinkle in.
I mean, if they release free cards, that would be sweet too. Like, I definitely think free content is a great way to hook new players into the game and get them spending money.
I think if you give people like every 2 weeks, like two new cards, for instance, you could like make Hearthstone absolutely fucking amazing. Like that's
it'd be really cool.
To me, two new cards every 2 weeks is like, here are these meta fixers.
Yeah,
here are
exactly.
These patches on the fly that we implement into the meta.
Blizzard's never going to do that. They really price gouge people, man.
Well, even if they do, like, even if we did this type of thing where it's like an expansion, we have, I don't know, whether it's free or it's just cheaper than your average expansion. Maybe that's when they do the balances too. You know, it gives them an excuse to match up a balance release at the same time as something else, because normally their scheduling, you know, it seems to have
their scheduling is totally different. Yeah, like the development team, the ladder team, like all of the teams seem to have completely different calendars, and none of them line up. We got patches happening mid tournament all the time for official Blizzard tournaments.
That's true.
None of the patches ever coincide with ladder resets. But you know what? Every other game in the world lines up their balance patches with ladder resets so that people come back and want to play the ladder at the beginning of the season. There's no reason to want to play the ladder at the beginning of the season for Hearthstone, because their schedules just don't coincide with anything.
Yeah, and I feel like going back to the point about the patches not occurring simultaneously, it really leads to a point where people just get tired, like to go back to the staleness, it actually makes the staleness even more prevalent than it could otherwise be.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be very simple for them to release content, if not like punctually, because again, I don't know how easy they can patch stuff, but they could really have just the idea of a season pass where, oh, you know, this year, if you buy the season pass, you get all the cards we give you for free, you know, every 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Like every 2 weeks, you get two new cards. And if you buy it like at the end of the year, then you just get retroactively everything that came that year. It's like a bundle for the entire year, but the cards come out like very punctually, as opposed to being like one mass influx of 130.
I definitely like the packaging of a year for, you know, just pricing something like that. I don't know if it's like you get two cards every month type of thing, but the concept I like, though. I think that would be pretty interesting. So I'm hoping that, you know, this is like the baseline. They set 130, 130, 130. And then hopefully during the year with the balance, they're not like setting anything in stone, that they'll be able to maybe sneak some of the balance changes in once it's a little bit easier to make balance changes. I'm hoping that's at least to what they're thinking about. But it's a start. So
it seems like everything that they do is always a start. They start going in the right direction. They've been going in the right direction for years. It's just like, how much slower could they possibly go in the right direction? Is really like, they keep doing great moves. It's just, how come these take 3 years to do? Like,
I feel bad, man.
Pick up the pace like a little bit. Like we're barely crawling. If we could just get it up to like a casual mall walk, like maybe we could get there. Like, I'm not even asking for a jog. Just like one step less than a jog. Just like a step with a little pep so you get to the clearance rack in time. Like that sort of speed.
You got a coffee. Let's just say you took a coffee in the morning and you're thinking about jogging, but you need a second coffee before you really get started.
Yeah.
You need that first coffee.
Need that.
Oh my God.
You don't have the coffee yet, though. Someone's got to light the fire, get the coffee brewing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's a great analogy.
Coffee brewing garbage.
Oh man. Okay. Yeah. Anyways, but let's it'll at least be good to see. I mean, it's great that they already thought about it because I think we suggested it too. Like we just didn't want to see an adventure really that much anymore because it was just so small. So it's good that they're replacing it. It's good that they're combining it. And I mean, they're keeping adventure still, so that's definitely good. Okay, let's talk about the cards. So this is a big thing too, which is that they've moved some cards to the Hall of Fame, which. Is this new? This wasn't here before, right? Was Hall of Fame? Okay. I'm just making sure I didn't forget like last year. But they've created this concept of Hall of Fame, which of course are all the cards that were moved to Wild, at least from the classic set. And they've added a few more this time. And most notably, or at least right off the bat, Azure Drake, which a lot of people have been talking about Azure Drake recently. We talked about it, I don't know how many weeks in a row now on Value Town, that this is the most prevalent card right now in Hearthstone in the most decks for just value, for card drawing ability, you know, just all those reasons, right? And it's been oppressing the five slot for a long time. Like five drops just don't get a chance, even though there's not the best ones, but they don't even get a chance because Azure Drake is just so solid for many of the classes. So thoughts, Azure Drake being retired from Standard?
It's definitely gonna hurt mid-range decks.
It's a pain in the ass.
One of the best tools in mid-range decks, but honestly Azure Drake is never in every class, I'd say, except for Rogue and maybe Mage. Azure Drake isn't a core set of your deck if you have anything better. Like, it's kind of just like that filler because there's nothing else that fits the theme of your deck.
Yeah.
That's like, why people play Azure Drake. Like, if they had better alternatives in Druid, they would cut Azure Drake. Back in the day with Ancient Wars or Ancient Allures drawing two and stuff like that, Azure Drake was seen as like a zero of or a one of in some metagames. Like, it's definitely, I wouldn't say the best possible five drop in the game, but it is the most flexible. And I think the reason why they're getting rid of it is because of how like aware it is, and they want different classes to have a true class identity. And being able to just slot Azure Drake in there instead of a class-centric card makes it harder to have class identity. And they want to like get away from what I'd say like the Shredder effect is, where you just play this random neutral because it's pretty good.
Well, yeah, it's because the same thing as the tri-class cards, really. Right now, it's like this card is everywhere. So,
well, we talked about this yesterday, Noxious. What if they just changed the battle cry to not be draw a card, but to be something else of value? Because well, I think the draw the card
we had
biggest.
In mind was like you change it to if you hold a dragon, draw a card. So it's only a dragon card, and otherwise it can be like an ogre magi. So you can make it 4/5. Somebody suggested like 5-mana 4/5, spell damage +1. Battle cry, if you're holding a dragon, draw a card. So it's just made for dragon decks, and it's otherwise an upgrade over magi. As a pure spell damage minion, so it's still okay.
Because like losing a spell damage minion does kind of suck too. You know, we don't have that many of them either.
It really sucks for Rogue. Rogue's getting Tomb Pillager rotated out. Rogue's losing Azure Drake. Small time Buccaneer just got nerfed.
Conceal.
Rogue's losing Conceal. You'll see later on in the list. I don't know what Rogue does anymore. Honestly, Rogue's just, it's the new Hunter. That's what's going to happen.
Like, I think Rogue had this thing where it's like this stealth fucking plane that drops bombs on people because every single time it's hit with nerfs, like it doesn't give a shit if it's going at Mach 20 or Mach 11. It still goes like above the speed of sound and it still drops bombs on your head every fucking set. Like it just finds a way. And as time passes, they'll eventually, you know, I think this might
what
be
is
like,
Rogue's
the rotation.
Identity, though?
I know. So that's
Rogue's
this
originally.
Has been, yeah.
Originally, Rogue's identity was making big weapons and blade flurrying them.
Yeah.
And then they killed blade flurry. And then Rogue's identity became concealing Edwin and questing adventurers and setting up weird lethals with conceal. Then they get rid of conceal. And then it was like Tomb Pillager stuff, I guess, at one point. And you were able to draw a bunch of coins, and that was cool. Now Tomb Pillager's gone. Like, what does Rogue do?
Just draw cards.
You burgle.
Man. Just draw cards.
See, dude, here it is.
Just the only Rogue identity now? Are they really trying to go full meme with it?
So here we go. I'm going to make this card. I'm going to call him Trade Prince something. Right? Trade Prince something. It's an ethereal guy. So it's like an ethereal peddler. When you play him, you deal 4 damage to the enemy hero for each non-Rogue card you have in your hand.
Wow, they're never gonna let that work. That's a combo deck. They're gonna nerf that into the ground. Have you even seen the other cards they're getting rid of? They don't want combo decks to exist. They want the game to be played in only one dimension. They didn't like the fact that early on in Hearthstone, you could play either an aggro deck, a mid-range deck, a combo deck, or a control deck, and had four dimensions to the game. They want you to play mid-range onboard trade decks, and that's it. They don't want any other way to play the game to exist.
Let's point out one big thing about Rogue. First thing about Rogue. At least they didn't change Auctioneer, okay? If Auctioneer gets to ever change...
They did. They killed it.
But they killed it. It costs six now.
Yeah. Oh, did I miss that? Oh, no, you mean before.
Without Conceal and without Tomb Pillager, what are you dealing with gadgets?
I know, but at least they didn't change the drawing aspect of it. They can still draw, at least to an extent.
It has no support anymore.
The only reason it was still played at six was because Conceal was a thing.
You could start the following turn
with like full mana count and do something retarded. But if you're starting at six and you have to use Master of Disguise to stealth it at 10, like you're never getting there. Like,
yeah,
that's my point. One of the things that they really need to do is if they're taking out Azor Drake, which is the most common card in mid-range decks, and we can see if we scroll down that they're not really taking anything away from aggro decks, they need to have some sort of replacement in the new set for this mid-range slot. Like, this is a big hole to fill, and if it's not replaced appropriately, then mid-range decks aren't going to be very good.
Well, I mean, I think it's mid-range decks and... I generalize it even more, and this is kind of the point I was getting at. I was just joking with the Auctioneer part, actually. But the biggest thing about Rogue and even Priest is, or even just any of the classes that are super weak after standard resets, are the ones that don't have super viable class minions. You know, and we're losing one of the only ones. I mean, we still have SI Agent, of course. We always have that. And you know, Van Cleef is still being played, of course. But losing Pillager is huge, right? It really hurts a big deal. And, you know, like with Priest, we're losing, you know, just the dragons, and we're losing, you know, they just don't really have that great of just foundational minions to really build off of. And it's going to happen every single year, like literally every single year until they start adding like solid cards, or at least removing all the solid cards from the other classes, you know, and having the classes be able to start on a baseline. So this is a problematic. This is very endemic. This is going to continue happening until they fix that. And Rogue is going to be very, very apparent, and Priest. Both of these are going to be super apparent after the reset, unless these first 130 cards are phenomenal for.
I'll say something about Rogue. I think the identity they're pushing for all the memery is stealth. You know, like
The whole the tempo,
the five drop assassin, the Shaku.
My argument to the tempo stealth deck, like they have the stealth houndmaster guy. They have all these conceal minions. They got the guy that reconceals if you trade.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we need another tempo deck?
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the most boring way you could build.
We already have like four or five other classes. You know, Shaman's been a great tempo deck. You know, like there's so many other classes that already do the tempo play style. We have nine classes, and I want to see, you know, at least five different play styles among the nine classes.
I'll say something, though. Like, the play styles don't bother me as much, because I look at something like Shadowverse, right? I don't know if you've played much of it.
I've played a lot of Shadowverse.
You can play a tempo deck in every fucking faction, and it's like, they play differently. Like, they're not the same, because you're managing different resources at every point. Whereas in Hearthstone, when you play a tempo deck across the board, it's always the same.
Exactly the same, play. Yeah.
There's no like class-specific mechanic. You know, they tried to make like ramp druid thing. They tried to make combo or rogue thing, but the truth is they haven't expanded on that theme hard enough in each class to where your rogue deck is a deck filled with combos. You know, it's not like every card is a combo card and they streak off of each other and they reduce their cost based on the amount of combo cards you play. It's like there's this one Edwin and fuck it, like it's too little.
But the problem with Shadowverse that I found, because I got to the point where I was starting to play Shadowverse at like a pretty high level. Like, me and Frodan got into, like, a bet, and we were, like, battling against each other, and after a week, who could win, and it was, like, a $5 bet, don't get me wrong, but it's kind of like, we take it very seriously. So anyway, we got into, like, pretty deep into it, and we were getting the points where, like, on ladder, we would have, like, 99.9% win rate at the highest rank on ladder.
Yeah,
So, the problem with that game was, like, if the player base was as big as Hearthstone, they would figure out some really broken stuff. So when things synergize that much, it's oftentimes ways that you can get decks where if you draw the correct order, you win 100% of the time. Shadowverse in a nutshell. High level, like, your deck wins by, like, turn three or four if you draw in the correct order. Like, right. You set it up right. Like, you get
Daria.
So getting back, you know, to the rogue with a combo, so we're talking about identity, kind of getting back to that. Just what is the identity? And, you know, the things that I can point out right now are the stealthing that you talked about. Combo, which has always been the original one. I don't really love it because they keep valuing the benefits of the combo in inaccurate, just bad ways. Like, it's never worth enough. And then I would say that value is actually a big one, which is like, you know, Shadowcaster and Raptor and things like that. It's like, what are we supposed to do with that? Like, in the rogue deck, why are those cards even in there if we have no way of even staying alive long enough to use those?
No heal, no taunt, but 9 drops that are 8/4.
And stealing, too. Burgle.
Value.
Yeah, Burgle stuff. It's like, what does Burgle do for me? I lose tempo, like, every time I play these cards. So
Prep.
I mean, if you think Rogue's designed in a way that's unsustainable, just take a look at how Hunter's designed for a minute.
That's all your last video.
Your mind will explode. Like,
you can't
backstab. Functionally cannot work on paper.
I like how you said they could. There's no way they thought this would be good. Like, no way.
You just can't. Like, I tried for like 20 minutes to figure out a way that they could have possibly thought that it could have looked good.
I mean, I think you have to mix in Power Shot. If Power Shot is actually the saving grace of Hunter, and it's
I played Power Shots, man.
Still not enough, though. Fuck.
Yeah, it's not enough. But I'm
even
saying,
if Power Shot dealt 3, like, maybe. Sure. Yeah. Like, and then if you drop Power Shot, you could maybe win the game, like, sort of scenarios.
We'll be better after the pirate stuff is gone. If the pirate stuff goes down
in your opening hand, and then you're good to go.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, well,
which is a great way that they do the design for almost all the classes right now, as far as the removal is concerned.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's Azure Drake. let's move on to the next one, which is, man, Sylvanas. I mean, they're retiring some of the long-standing legends that have been the most popular and the highest value cards, and Sylvanas is definitely one of those. Probably, would you say the best death rattle card in the game? Like
high main, probably. I mean, it depends.
It's Tyrion.
All the
or
death rattles are situational, right?
Yeah,
right.
I guess that's true. But I would say this has been very versatile over the time, and obviously it's a neutral card too, so it's been used the most too. So kind of sad to see it go, to be honest, because it's always been one of my favorite. But you know what? Like, we need to get some new cards in here, and if that means retiring even some of our favorite ones, then so be it. What do you guys think?
I don't like Sylvanas. I've never liked her, and I wish she'd never existed.
Really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I hated her in the early stages of beta, and I hated her on release. She was 5 mana. She was broken. At 6, she was still annoying, because when she worked, she was fucking ridiculous. People don't mind her because they say, oh, it's controlled RNG, but to me, it's just an extra layer of frustration, because it's either going to be a Twisting Nether on her own, or she's going to create a game swing that doesn't need to happen. I'd rather just not have her in the game. That's
really?
My thought.
Wow.
I don't like
her. I never felt that way.
I like Sylvanas a lot.
Yeah, me too. I'm definitely in the same boat as you.
It does well. I don't like the design of it.
I think it's a really cool card for like every control deck that gives them a lot more tools and flexibility, and just like Ezredrake, these cards that are getting removed definitely leave holes in decks that are already not tier 1. So all of these cards that we're cutting do not affect any of the tier 1 decks.
Control,
they affect all the decks.
Yeah,
yeah. All so these tier decks. 2 decks that are almost good enough, the control decks that just can't quite beat the aggro yet, but are getting close to being able to beat the aggro, are all getting silently nerfed here, unless they're getting, you know, better replacements in the future. So my fear is, we've had an aggro metagame in every single metagame of Hearthstone that's ever been stabilized. Like, yeah, sure, we've had control metagames, but they've been for like the 2 weeks right after a set when people haven't figured things out yet, and then they refine the aggro decks, and then it's an aggro metagame. Now, with all of these changes, they hurt the mid-range decks, and they hurt the control decks, and none of them touch the aggro decks. And I'm a little bit nervous.
I hear you, man. I totally hear you.
The replacements are not going to be good enough, because Sylvanas is freaking good, and it's hard to find a replacement that's going to be that good.
I mean, especially against Jade, we could make like Jackson's Runt, and it's like a 6 mana 4/6 that gives you 15 health if you have only like Highlander garbage.
And then, but you're allowed to play two of him,
right? Because it doesn't matter when you draw the first one, the other one's in your deck, so only one copy left.
need to see.
I wouldn't be surprised. There's a death rattle that actually does give you health. I think it's
good to get some of these staples out of the way. You know, like Ezredrake's the most played card in the game, and then Sylvanas gets played a lot as well. So, you know, they've been staples. I like keeping it fresh. In other words, if you don't like get rid of Sylvanas, it's probably going to continue to get played for basically forever.
Forever. So, yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, one of the things this card does too is it cheapens mind control, makes it look like trash, which it kind of is in many aspects. And it makes Cabal Shadow Priest feel like a piece of shit too in some cases. Like, and it's not that Cabal Shadow Priest is worse, is that if I have the choice between Sylve and Cabal, I'm oftentimes going to play Sylve. They're not filling the same purpose, but this one is more flexible in general. So it really depends which meta you're up against, where Cabal is, you know, potentially strictly better. But I don't know. I'm not.
There's not a lot of metagames where Cabal's good anymore.
Exactly.
Right. That's exactly.
Things have three attack now.
They're going to need to change that thing to steal three. Exactly.
What are you stealing? Like a wisp? Like, there's nothing Totem in the game that's got Totems. Two anymore. They get you.
That's my point. Like, Sylvanas really makes those cards feel even worse. So if they ever want to design.
Well, even with Sylvanas in the deck over Cabal Shadow Priest, you're playing Priest, you're playing a tier three deck, you're still losing. So.
Still dead.
Yeah, you're still dead. Like, that's the scary part, is all of these, you know, rotations are taking out some of the best cards in the tier 2 and 3 decks and leaving all of the good cards in the tier 1 decks.
Furthering
the gap, unless they print things even better than Sylvanas for the control decks, which they gotta print some freaking good cards. So,
I know, like it's kind of crazy, and we're gonna get to the rest of these, and yes, you will notice that the theme is all of these cards go in control decks, which is just unbelievable to some extent, because there were barely even enough to even put in there at this time. And then next up, we've got Ragnaros, which has always been a favorite of control decks, as well as tempo decks too, just a finisher. I mean, just historically, and I still see it sometimes even now. So this has been a staple of Hearthstone, like competitive Hearthstone, I think forever now too.
I am so glad to see this card.
I think there's a lot of people.
If you look back at the World Championship, there was about 4 or 5 games in the World Championship completely decided on Ragnaros 50-50s in the World Championship, just a literal flip of a coin. So this is a card that really needed to go for a long time. It's just got so much potential upside that you kind of have to play it. Because when it works out, you win the game. And when it doesn't work out, you're not necessarily in a losing position. And it allows you to win games that you have no business winning whatsoever, which is kind of bullcrap. You just get to cheese out a win out of nowhere, which I don't like happening. No one like really feels satisfied when they're like totally dominating a game and then someone just plays rag and you got 6 minions in the field that just snipes you over the top and you lose. Like, that's a horrible feeling.
Yeah, so I'll say this about Rag. Back when Beta was around, I said this card was toxic. Dr. Boom came out, and everybody forgot about Rag. But it's true. It's true. Yeah. People forgot about Rag. And then when Dr. Boom went away, people were like, oh, this game is great now. Great again. I'm like, nope, it's not. This fucking card's coming back, and it's won way too many games to be, I don't know, at competitive levels. And I don't even play competitively, so I'm just watching this as an observer, and it's fucking hilarious to watch. People get excited for it because it kind of triggers me. Like, whenever Rag is like, the guy plays Rag, hits face, doesn't matter. Other guy plays Rag, snipes the Rag, I flip a shit.
That's the worst. Yeah.
Like, this is ridiculous.
It feels really bad from the competitive side of things. And Rag beats out all of the class legendaries in every deck. Like, every control deck cuts their class legendary and plays Rag. So, where is the class definition here? We need the classes to actually separate from each other, but your big cool class legendary like Antonitus or whatever, a lot of the times, you know, you just shove it out and jam in a Ragnaros. Like Temple Mage, for the longest time, unless they're going a greedy build, don't even run Antonitus. They just run Rag.
I'll say one thing, like, about you just losing Rag, and just generally speaking, now you're mentioning class legends. We need some better, like, high-end legend cards, man.
They're
like,
pretty garbage.
I brought this up like maybe like a month ago on Value Town. It's like, I want to build a greedy deck. I want to build the greediest freaking priest deck I can build possible. And it's like, I have the hardest time finding stuff that is, like, immensely greedy.
They didn't really balance them very well.
They didn't.
Like, if you
compare,
like, Ezredrake as a 9-drop compared to all the other 9-drops in the game, if you play Ezredrake, not only does it have the ability, so the potential value of being played earlier on, then when you play it on turn 9, you have 4 mana left over, so you can play a 5-mana 4/4, which draws a card, so essentially recycling itself. So it doesn't take the cost of 2 cards, and then play a 4-drop on top of that. So let's say you've just played an Ezredrake and a Chillwind Yeti. You've now played, you know, an 8-9 for 9 mana and it's only costed you one card, and you had the flexibility of not having to run a big drop, because right. the big drops not having the flexibility to come out earlier on is super, super impactful on the cost of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Like, I feel like I'm going to go back to Shadowverse. I keep doing that, but like the big drops in that game are fucking huge. Like,
oh, they kill you every time. Yeah, if they come out, you're dead.
Yeah, if the mana cost of the card is high in that game, you actually get a reward that scales, because Hearthstone initially, I think what they tried to do, if you noticed, like in the very early stages, was tone down the power of early drops, and then they reverted that. Leprechaun became a 2-1, and then they went Undertaker on us. But for a while, it was like, let's make those mid-range control decks better, you know, in general. And the trend then turned around, and now we're stuck in this limbo where the initial design ideas of making longer games happen is shifted, and suddenly those big drops are not statted properly. They have very little swing potential. They're very weak to soft removal, to hard removal and soft removal still. So it's one of these things where the late game cards have never been good. And you know, I was
particularly the class ones.
Full Reaper. Like, Full Reaper was such a cool card.
Dude, I love that card.
Right, but the point is, this guy at 8 mana had a decent stat line at 6-9. If it triggered, the issue is it doesn't get to do anything. Like, it just never hits. It never swings. And the discrepancy between 8 and 9 is actually a world apart.
Yeah,
the stats on the cards is not even remotely adjusting for that. So a 9 and an 8 have similar stat lines, which is nonsense, because they just cost so much more.
Yeah, and I feel like the class legendaries just have been... I mean, we have like classes that have the worst legendary cards, and it's shown in a bit as well, you know, like how the power of some of these classes are. I think outside of maybe Shaman, you know, with nobody uses Alkir anymore. It is a sick one, but people don't even use it because it's so damn good, you know, already. But look at Hunter. I mean,
Hunter had Call of the Wild, which I'm gonna go out.
Call of the Wild's not a legend though.
It kind of was. I'm going to go out. I think I'm in the minority here, but I liked Call of the Wild at 8. I think if Call of the Wild costed 8, that would be better for Hunter right now. That's a class-defining power card that creates a more unique sense of gameplay.
At this point, especially with a lot of the removal that's available
with
now.
The way the games went, especially now, like Call of the Wild got nerfed by itself, basically, by how fast the metagame got. But I think that's cool. I think classes should have some card that defines them, or something, a couple cards that define them, you know, that are cool late game drops for the control decks of that class, instead of all of the control decks playing Ragnaros at the top end. I think that's lame. I want to have different control decks that have different cool things that are class oriented.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because they literally, I don't know if it was in their plans to kill off Hunter, but knowing that, I don't think that nerf should have occurred, like going back on it.
And the Hunter's Mark nerf doesn't make sense with how badly.
But what's funny about the Call of the Wild one was that none of us were like rioting about Call of the Wild.
No,
people. Yeah, there's a few people.
No, I mean, better game change.
Really, I mean, people were. So are some people complaining, but not. It wasn't like, oh, they have to change this like right now, like we're seeing with small time Buccaneer and stuff.
Batstone Call of the Wild, I think, was the fifth most voted for card to get banned when I did Batstone.
Wow. Okay. That says a lot.
So it was up there, but not too many people are complaining that much. And one thing that they've done with a lot of the card nerfs is it feels like the card nerfs and the card development is done by two separate groups of people, because they've very oftentimes nerfed a card and then released cards that countered to it. Yeah. So I'll talk about like Gadgets and Auctioneer, for example. The set they nerfed Gadgets and Auctioneer, they released Bomb Lobber, which killed Gadgets and Auctioneer. True. Like, it costed 5, Gadgets and costed 5, and it throws a bomb which deals 4 damage, killing it. So they nerfed and released Counterplay in the same exact set.
That's a good point.
And they continue to do that every single set. So it feels like the people that nerf cards are 100% different group than the people that design new cards. And they need to get on the same page or something, because
I remember
nerf and release Counterplay, because that just really kills the class.
I have to wonder how much of that came from, because I remember the time where like Undertaker was dominating, and somebody probably had the idea of, hey, we have GVG already mapped out, let's sprinkle in Scarred Purifier and whatever the fuck else, Little Exorcist, and like these guys didn't. I feel like there was no communication as far as the actual power level of the card as it was being played and what was needed to counter it, or if a nerf was needed. And then they released the set, and then what ended up happening is they eventually nerfed the Undertaker. I just don't understand how the overlap isn't occurring between like the nerfs and the the actual gameplay.
I think you might have something. I mean, they do really meet. Weird. I mean, they definitely have meetings together. So I don't know. Maybe from a standpoint of strategic wise, or maybe they're not talking. But you are right on the mark with some of those nerfs and new releases, because it doesn't make sense sometimes. And when they double up on it, you're totally right. It just kills a class.
Nuke a class.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I think Hunter would be. I mean, I still don't think Hunter would be. Super powerful, yeah. Sure. Maybe after the Pirates, I don't know. Maybe there will be a minor adjustment, but with the Pirates, it would have still been
Druid. Like they might be able to beat Druid. I don't know.
They've always been able to beat Druid. You know, it's like
they can't beat Druid right now, though.
It's crazy. Yeah, that just doesn't seem right, man. What is this? Okay, well, let's move on. We got Power Overwhelming now, which, you know, Reno Lox will not have that ability to combo anymore, which was one of the big power options, at least when you're building the deck, to get it, you know, be able to tech in there or not. And this card, again, has been a big part of both, I would say, aggro decks. It's probably every single type of archetype, actually, of Warlock.
It's in all the Warlock decks. It's for sure one of the most powerful Warlock cards, and it's got to be one of the most powerful cards in the game. It's really, really strong, and in Reno Lock, it's oftentimes played even without the Leroy Faceless combo, because it activates Shadowflame, it activates Shambler, and so you're able to get some pretty cute combos off. And it also like destroys a lot of the combo lock archetypes. So there's another combo deck that's going to be butchered. So we've had Freeze Mage get butchered. We've had like combo rogues get butchered. We're going to have combo warlock get butchered. Now, they do not want you to play combo decks. Blizzard's got something against combo decks. I don't know what it is.
We just talked about that too.
They really don't want you dying from 30. It's super important for them to have that.
I mean, I'll say something though about PO. What irritated me about the card is how it fits everywhere, I guess. Like, I don't mind combo cards that are specific, right? Like, that's the thing with PO is that it makes charge minions good for combo decks. It makes trading up with aggro decks very, very good. It makes a finisher in every fucking thing ever. It triggers death rattles. It does everything. So
It is busted. I don't know.
I think it could have been adjusted. It didn't have to be 4/4. I thought 4/4 was
honestly
a lot, but
I think like back when they made the Doomhammer nerf, I actually called for a Power Overwhelming nerf to 3/3 as opposed to 4/4, and that would like leave Shadowflame value up. It would make combo plays a little bit less, you know, intense, and it would still enable trade ups. And except you can't get a 2-attack minion to kill a Jude of the Claw, right? Like, it's just on the cusp of kind of breaking the threshold of how high you can really trade up with the card. Whereas now that it's being rotated out, what they're saying is, if you want to play a degenerate fucking deck, go to Wild, man. And I actually like that they're letting us keep those cards in a way, because they said they wanted to support Wild a bit more. And I, you know, Molten Giant, worst disaster ever. Now the card's dead in both formats. Move it to Wild. You can play Headlock. Like, it's fucking great.
That would have been sick if they preserved Molten Giant for Wild.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is kind of how I look at this kind of change. I like it.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, I'll just like at least give a 1 point for being a little sad that Power Overwhelming is going. And it is one of those cards where you can make plays. You know, like one thing I think it's missing from Hearthstone right now are playmaking cards. You know, nothing that's just like, oh, you just play it. You just play it and it just is good. You know, and, you know, maybe you're trying to.
That's what they've said. Onboard interactions. They want cards that you play and they're just good. Chill Wind Yetis all around, guys.
I'm sad. Sad about Power. You know the old days of Power Overwhelming and Void Tearing, and you know those days are all just gone now. You know, it's like it's a bit sad.
That was Warlock. To me, anyway, Power Overwhelming is a big part of Warlock, because it does allow you to do all of, like, Sylvanas PO, super classic, control Warlock power play, Power Overwhelming Shadow Flame, Power Overwhelming Shambler, Power Overwhelming Void Terror with, like, an Arubian Egg and stuff like that. It was a super classic zoo play, so it's definitely one of the more class-defining Warlock cards that they could have possibly removed, in my opinion.
Yeah, somebody in the chat says that Brode on Reddit said that they're considering unnerfing Molten Giant, which, if true, is fucking awesome.
They're not going to do that. They're never going to admit that they're wrong.
Yeah, but Brode said they're considering unnerfing the nerf moving him to Wild if he's actually...
Oh, I mean, that would be a very smart decision. I think that would be awesome. Like, preserving Handlock, that's insane. That would be... very terrific for the game. That's a deck that people fell in love with and would love to be able to continue playing in Wild.
I think that I'd like to see that. That'd be fantastic, actually.
Yeah, I think that would be cool.
I think the fact that Wild exists as a, people look at it as like, oh, there's the dumpster of Hearthstone where they don't know what to do. The truth is, like, you like
it's
a deck,
nostalgia,
but it doesn't
man.
Mean it's not oppressive.
It is nostalgia.
It's really sometimes, it's an easy way to fix problems without deleting cards. Like, it's so frustrating to simply
honestly,
have nothing.
I would have loved if there's like a even like a wilder wild mode where you can just play unnerfed variations of cards,
old school fucking
like yeah, just the nostalgia mode or something like that, where like you have every version. Like if you play during beta, you just have the unnerfed beta variations that you can play in nostalgia
it's
mode.
Like, it's like playing like an NBA 2K game. It's like I want to play with a 1994 Bulls versus the decks like
that'd
right
be
now.
Awesome. I would go in that mode with my friends, you know, and just be like, you know, people I played with in the beta and just jam some old beta stuff. Sometimes
just give me my hunter, man. Just give me my hunter back, and I'm all for that.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Squeak squawk into Unleash.
Yeah, squeak squawk into Unleash. Hell yeah, dude. All right, moving on. We got you just mentioned Freeze Mage, so Ice Lance is gone now. So the days of at least old school Freeze Mage.
They're really just beating a dead horse with this one. Like Freeze Mage has been dead, and they've nerfed it every single nerf along the way. They just keep kicking it. They want to make sure it stays dead. It came back that one time. They made some nerfs, and like Freeze Mage still stuck around after him. And now they're just making sure.
I can imagine.
They've double tapped.
You sure you're dead?
It. They're just really
firing a couple more rounds into the body.
Yeah. They've reloaded and came back a second time. Ridiculous.
Dude, they went full Rambo on this guy. I can imagine the discussion. They're like Ben Bro's at home, just sipping a glass of wine with his wife. You know, the kids are asleep, and then he gets a phone call, being like, bro, Freeze Mage appeared in the tournament again. And just fucking goes, are you fucking kidding me right now? What the fuck is it going to take? Next morning, flurry at the fucking office. Everybody's trying to come up with solutions. And somebody comes up and like, fuck Ice Lance. And bro looks at him like, you're promoted, dude. Fuck it. And they're nerfing it now. And this is exactly what we're getting. I can imagine the scene. Like, it's so melodramatic.
What does Freeze Mage have now? They got like Ice Block and that's
nothing.
It?
They have Ice Block. Exactly. They've got Torch. That's not a Freeze, really.
They lost Emperor. They got like Ice Block.
Is it really Freeze anymore?
I'll say something with Mage. Like, I think Freeze is a super cool mechanic, but I think it's actually being held back by cards like Ice Lance, which translates
Execute, basically. Yeah.
Right. Like, you want to add more Freeze effects maybe to the game that are more punctual, and having Ice Lance into it might be too much. And also, one of the things that sucks about Mage is how often you tend to gravitate towards let's kill people. Like, you never consider
that's the class.
Right, but
we don't need another deck that plays minions and trades. No more Chill and Yeti trading.
I agree. But like, let's look at something like the secret mage they're trying to push.
Okay.
Like that's an archetype that I think could be explored, but you don't have to go all in on the theme like they've done before. I'd like to see more mixed and match, like mix and match type decks where like tempo mage, right? It's tried to be a little bit of board, a little bit of burst. And when you have tempo mage like sprinkling in Ice Lance, like that shit gets really old. Like you end up with some degenerate bullshit coming up. And I think that's just what they're trying to prevent. You're allowed to be like hybridizing between styles, but you're not gonna burst somebody in the face for 25.
I know what you mean by that. And
tempo mage doesn't play Ice Lance though.
I know.
The only deck that plays Ice Lance was Freeze Mage.
The version
that doesn't exist anymore. So they're getting rid of Ice Lance for some future stuff, I guess, because they want to print more burn cards.
Yeah, for sure. They are going to be printing more burn. There's no way they don't with the change to Ice Lance. And they don't want it to be like this deck where you play a few minions. Not like Freeze Mage, like with Ice Block. You play a few minions, like aggro Freeze, right? Like that was fucking AIDS. Like when that
deck but it was never good. It's like a T3 deck.
But if they're printing tools for it, that deck is absolute AIDS. Like it is beyond frustrating to play. Like
I think it's interesting. I think it's a different play style. I want to be able to play the game in as many different ways as possible. I play the game a lot. So if I'm able to play it in 8 different play styles, that's amazing. When I go into Hearthstone right now, I feel like there's 3 different play styles. I'm either playing a Jade deck and I'm just ramping Jade crap up as, you know, Druid or Shaman. Or I'm playing a Reno deck, and I'm just going for the value game and playing Reno Jackson 46% of the time. Or I'm playing an aggro deck, and I'm jamming pirates and trying to kill people. And those are the 3 ways I feel like I can play Hearthstone currently. And we have 9 classes, and I feel like I can play the game 3 different ways. That's a design failure in my eyes. I think we should have definitely more ways to play 9 classes than 3.
I mean, you're... go ahead.
I played like Aggro Freeze Mage nonstop when it was around. Like that's the one of the few mage decks that I actually loved. But that deck, if it's too good ever, I think Ice Lance is one of the few reasons, because the amount of burn mage has otherwise is kind of fair. Like Frostbolt, Fireball, Torch to an extent, even though that's getting rotated out. But if they're replacing Torch with something else, and they're and, like, let's assume it's better than Torch, right? Like in some ways, like 3 mana deal 4. What if whatever the fuck that is, like that could be really problematic for like if you keep Ice Lance around, because suddenly the amount of burn you can put together with very few pieces that are like replaceable or interchangeable is too much.
Yeah. Well, I hope they have the burn. I hope Mage gets to still be burn oriented.
Oh, sure.
And I hope that playstyle exists in some fashion.
It better be.
As long as Fireball exists in basic, it's I think it's always going to have to be some type of burn. Maybe another thing too is maybe they have some, I don't know, maybe some minions or some cards like the, was it the Dementor? You know, like the 2/4 that actually freezes random guys. Maybe they're
costs 4 mana.
It does.
Maybe 3. I don't know. How did that one pan out? This one freezes them and costs 4. Flamewaker kills them and costs 3.
Was it? Is it 4? I thought it was 3 too. Oh my gosh. If it's 4, then that doesn't make any sense. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's a reason for taking this like specific one. But then you're adding RNG to that. So it's just kind of like, I don't know. It's going to be kind of sad, but again, this is another card that's been around forever too. So, hopefully something new will be replace it and it'll be good. And then lastly, Conceal. So we talked about Rogue. We hinted at how important Conceal is already for Auctioneer. This is a card that's defined Rogue for a long time now. So you guys sad? I mean, are you sad about this card disappearing, or are you just more sad that Rogue's just going to be in a crap state, potentially?
I think if we really wanted to remove the most cancerous part of Rogue right now, we would look to Edwin Van Cleef instead of Conceal. But I think this is a close runner-up for the most cancerous part of Rogue. Yeah. So, like, Rogue is already the most inconsistent deck in the game and just randomly kills you for no reason doing unfair bullcrap. And I don't know why that exists and Freeze Mage had to die. But, you know, here we are. And I think removing Conceal helps with that. I just don't know what Rogue's going to do now. So Rogue is, I think, after seeing all of the stuff that's rotating out, the worst class. And they need to do something to help it with this next release. If they don't, Rogue is going to suck, because it currently does nothing. It's got no good early game. It's got no good mid game. It's got no good late game. It is worse than Hunter.
Yeah, it is really, like, if after we take those changes out, of course. Like
it's got Edwin still, I guess.
I mean, yeah.
You can always get that 8/8 Edwin on.
You can always, like, 30% your way to an obliteration.
Yeah, it's either, like, Edwin or just, like, aggro Rogue with Cold Bloods and hope they don't have an answer, and you just jam things at their face. Yeah,
that's what I don't want. Like, I don't want Rogue to become like just another aggro deck, or, you know, play tempo with Cold Blood as finisher, because it'd be like they already do that. It's just like
we have too many tempo decks. Why do we need more?
Well, they have they have so many value centric cards in their arsenal.
Like
the actual Rogue, the variety in the cards is actually not that bad. They're just not synergized at all in a way. So
the cards that you keep saying are value cards, though, I say are just bad. Like, there's a line where you can go between value and bad, and like Thistletea and Burgle are way deep in the bad side. Like,
True. I mean, I agree with that. Like, but if for some reason they could get more health, I mean, just like throwing stuff out there, right? If they could get more health, they could survive a lot longer. Then maybe, you know, like maybe they could just stealth their hero one turn and just survive, and then they actually get a free turn to do something, or they can remove the board in a big way. I don't know, just something that makes sense for them to actually add these cards, like Gang Up and Thistletea and all these things. It's like, otherwise you literally have a like 10 cards along those lines.
I want them to let Rogues reorder their fucking deck. I want that to be the fucking theme of Rogue.
Let
Rogues dig through their fucking deck and
like decide. Rogue should be the combo deck. There should be some sort of cool combo.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like, we need a class that plays out with combos. We can't have every single class be a tempo deck.
You know what? I want a one meta weapon. I want a one meta 1/2 weapon for Rogue that says your combos are always enabled or some shit. Like, I don't care what it is.
Combo sucks, dude. There's like SI7 and that's it.
Yeah, but they can print more is the point. Like, they can really make a whole lot. Like, because they could make actual combo cards that work early game that aren't garbage.
They need to do a lot to Rogue to really recover the current state of it. So
yeah, I agree.
It's
too fast. The game's too fast right now. The game's just, like, so fast that, you know, like, Shadow Step used to be an amazing card for Rogue way back when, right? Now it's, I mean, it's light years too slow, you know, for us to use. And that's crazy because that used to be such a, you know, a big part of playing Rogue too. So
I think Rogue's just going to become another aggro deck like Shaman and Warrior and just be focused around Pirates and going face.
I think they might actually add synergy for bouncing. Like whenever a card returns to your, like something when X returns to your hand, because they printed a new 2-drop that does it. There's still Shadow Step in the class, and they have the
youth bouncing is a cool mechanic.
I think bouncing is a lot of like that has.
No, but isn't that value, guys? I mean, what are we talking about
it's
here?
Value. It's value. For sure. Bouncing is value lines that are going to lose you the game. But if they have some way to transfer that value back into tempo, like some sort of
battle cry, crazy battle cries. Yeah,
either some sort of like, well, it needs to be some sort of sweeper or something like that, or some sort of like thing from below, but for bouncing things back instead of playing totems. But that'd be really lazy because they've done that before.
Imagine,
but, you know, some sort of AoE that gets charged up the more you bounce things back or whatnot.
That's what I'd like to see, like a 10 cost sweeper that reduces in cost whenever something's bounced, like minus two mana for something, and then you just get to fucking clean up, like clean up house.
That'd be cool.
Like that's the kind of mechanic I'd like Rogues to get. Like there are so many things they can do, because the thing is the mechanics are there. They're just not used, and
they're interesting. I mean, they actually have interesting cards, but
And
they're just
what's
not
super
strong.
Weird is like every single set they drip new cards for an archetype. They go like V's Druid, let's drip a card. Oh, it doesn't work. Okay, drip another card. Okay, drip a really good card. Oh, it still doesn't work. All right, next expansion. I'm telling you, V's Druid is cancer. So now we just have to figure out.
Beastroot's coming. It's coming big. It's coming in a big way, too.
Beastroot's just another tempo deck.
I know, but you know it's coming. It's a freaking dinosaur release coming.
We've had, like, pirates. We've had dragons. We've had, you know, just mid-range druid. We've had mid-range shaman. And they've all been generic tempo decks where you play minions on curve. And why is that the play style we push in every class? Now we're pushing beast druid, like... I'm losing my mind, man.
I want a tempo taunt warrior so we can have fun in warrior 2.
No, you don't need that. They're pushing that too, aren't they?
Protect the king, please.
They're pushing
let
tempo
me play
warrior
it.
With taunts too. Like, why? Why can't we play the game in different dimensions?
They kept that one bad, though, at least. They kept that one
bad. Well, I mean, they're
really
dripping
bad.
Cards in one at a time until... Yeah. They did the same thing with Shaman. Shaman was bad originally. You know, remember way back when Shaman was bad. And,
even when they had Trog and Totem Golem, they were bad.
In cards one at a time, and then bam, really good tempo deck. Yeah. And they're doing the same thing with Beast Druid. They're doing the same thing with Taunt Warrior.
Yeah,
it's coming, dude. I'm telling you what. Like, prepare. The Beast Druid is coming, dude. Like, dinosaurs will literally tear you a new one.
If tempo decks are tier one, the next two metas in a row, man.
Okay, prediction. What will be the powerful control deck, if there even is one? even if there is one. What will
powerful
it be?
Control deck.
Will there be a powerful control deck?
Technically, I mean, Paladin can fuck everyone, but Eidric is getting rotated out. Like, if the tempo slows down, if we're talking mid-range tempo, like all those stat modifiers. Yeah,
I don't think
Eidric
is
going anywhere, man.
Yeah, Pirates.
I mean, are we talking about like the post-rotation thing? Because I think that's where they'd like to take the game, is like a little bit slower towards the mid-range.
Yeah, post-rotation. We're talking post-rotation. What will be the control deck? Because everybody's like, oh, you know, maybe Kazagas and Priest, you know, no Reno, they still got greater healing. Well, they lose a lot of their Dragon and Operative is going to be garbage, you know,
and
like
Priest
in Priest.
It's just tier four right now. Priest is really bad.
It's going to be even worse, though. So, like, okay, so that's out of the question. Reno lock?
It all depends what they print, right? Like, one of the issues with control decks currently is there is very few control decks that can either pressure or get above 30 health. And if you're going to be a control deck in a card game, then you need to be able to either get above 30 health or be able to pressure. Otherwise, decks are going to, like, two-turn you or, you know, one-turn you. Like, that's just going to happen. Like, they will find a way to be able to do that. So
maybe that's
like,
why
I
don't
want to
take out
Warrior,
combo.
Like, Warrior's going to be the only deck that can actually have the tools to sustain a control archetype. Because you need to be able to prevent yourself from getting one-shotted. You need to be able to prevent yourself from getting two-turned. And you need to be able to deal with aggro. And Warrior can deal with those three things. Warrior has single target removal, it's got AoE removal, and it's got heal. And none of the other decks have that. unless they get tools extra printed to them. So I think Warrior's the most likely.
And the Warrior's just so susceptible to Druid Jade, though. It's just
Warrior, any control deck can't beat Jade. What are you talking? Like, none of the control decks can beat Jade. And that's just a mechanic that's going to persist and stop control for a year to come.
What kind of irks me is they mentioned, you know, we don't want to print more tri-class cards in the future. You know, the Jade theme is over. The Kazakhs theme is over. We're going to move on to a new concept.
They can't.
Does that mean they're never printing a neutral fuck Jade card? You know, like reset.
No, they'll print one. I hope they print
one. That's what I'm saying, right? Like, if they're never interacting with that mechanic again, that shit is going to need either power creep to beat it or just, like, more aggro.
I mean, that's it. Right now, you cannot out-control Jades. One of the ways you can out-control Jades is if you have a burst combo to finish.
Burst combo, yeah.
Well, we just nerfed all the burst cards. We removed them from the game. We just went through that and we saw that. The ways you could do that was conceal, ice lance combos, and power formly combos. Oh, shit. There's all three of those. So those are gone. So now the only way you can beat Jades is by rushing them down. You can't beat them with a control deck any longer. They're really, at this point, neutering control from the game. Now, if they want to, you know, introduce new cards that then, and combo. Control and combo are just gone right now because of these cards leaving and Jade existing. So now they really need to introduce some new cards. Otherwise, control is really screwed right now.
Yeah, they seem fucked anyway. I think we're going to have a metagame of mid-rangey stuff. I mean, one of the things, too, is like, even if it's mid-rangey
versus aggro, dude, it's going to be the same cycle it is right now. Currently, the rock, paper, scissors is there's the control decks that are like the Reno decks that beat up on the aggro decks.
Fartman's frozen. He raged so hard it just froze.
He raged so hard he just got frozen.
Yeah.
He's got a point though. He does got a point that like the control decks actually disappearing. That's gonna be sad. I really, really hope that these, you know, what's crazy is that, you know, whenever you're trying to fill holes, fill gaps in some of these classes, you're just making the other classes potentially just better, unless you're just giving them nothing. Like, if Shaman literally gets garbage, which, you know, they might have tried to do this, you know, this last release, they still got some cool stuff, you know, and obviously Jade was definitely in line with what the power cards were anyways for this. Well, we're going to have to figure this out in a second. But it's going to be still potentially off balance because of it. Oh, God. So, yeah, we just kind of lost Firebat. So that's going to be, I don't know if he's going to be back or not. We'll have to see. He's obviously having some internet issues, but let me fix this at least. Let me fix your cam at least, and then we'll get back to adding Firebat back to this. This is not Smilestone, dude. This is not Smilestone.
I'm having fun anyway.
Okay, let me fix this real quick. But yeah, so overall, you know, I think that, you know, we are generally happy about the changes. You know, like I'm glad that they're removing some long-standing cards because we just want some change in Hearthstone. And hold on, let me do this real quick. Hey, trying to fix this real quick so we can show us at least without Firebat here. But yeah, so we're happy that they decide, you know, they're changing this, making some changes that seem to be in the right direction. But man, I hope these cards are just amazing cards and they slowly try to get the class balance back to somewhat of some parity, because right now it's gonna be hard
because we started this show being like, okay, there's gonna be a 20 minute discussion on the new changes.
It's like, an hour,
this is
an
hour balance bitching. Exactly. Like, it's pretty much back to, because like these changes again, like the nerfs that are happening, like they're big, but they're not big, because I think a lot of people right now are recognizing that a lot of the issues are like underpinnings of design philosophy. And if those don't change, then, you know, you can change the mask on the card, but it's still the same fucking effect. It's still an aggro card. It's still like a mid-range card. You can change the face of the hero, but it's still a mid-range deck. It's still a curve stone deck. And that can lead to very stale meta. So I think at this point, like when we see those changes, we're all excited and all for, you know, news. But in the very long term, what we're looking for is, well, you know, the next expansion and probably this is like the first real standard year. This is going to be where Hearthstone is, like its future is determined. This should be like the last year of growing pains, I think, for Hearthstone. I think this is going to be its last year of growing pains, after which we know for sure what Standard is going to be like, how fast they have to iterate and how fast they have to patch, because that's one of the big things. Like, if Standard is supposed to fix things, you know, they could simply figure out a new release cycle for patches, and then suddenly the problems get solved faster.
Yeah, I predict that. Hey, you back?
Yeah.
All right. You just raged. You raged and like broke the internet, dude.
Your camera, I guess.
Okay, I need to.
I'm getting heated. Yeah.
You're getting heated. Yeah. Well, we're just talking about Noxious is thinking that this is the last. Well, we should be. This is like the first year where we should be past growing pains and whatnot.
We are in growing.
We're in growing pains. Okay. Yeah, I think. In some ways, this year will be like what last year should have been like in my eyes. Yeah, and maybe we're saying the same thing, but I think they'll start, you know, not only just trying to adjust and like just be chasing, you know, just from behind the entire year and things like that. I think they'll actually be able to make some macro changes for, you know, the future ability to, you know, like things like the client change. You know, they're finally getting a chance to do that. They should have done that last year. Like, you know, let's just be honest, right?
They've made very positive changes. I already said this earlier on. It's the speed that everyone's concerned about. But, you know, all of the moves they've made, for the most part, everyone's been happy about. It's just all about the speed. So, like, you know, they're getting the hang of it. As much as I've ranted about, you know, the cards and the decks and aggro and all of this stuff, at the end of the day, I still got to say, you know, they're doing the right things. They're just doing it not as fast as I want them to do it. So I think they'll get it eventually.
Pretty much. I think we can all agree on that.
Yeah. By the end of the year, I predict by the end of 2017, we'll have a faster, I think we'll have more frequent, much shorter frequency between balance changes. That's what my prediction is.
That's exactly what I predict. Yeah. And I think this is the last year of Hearthstone figuring itself out. And then it knows what it needs to be. Because this is where like everything is going to be made or broken, because the release cycle is novel. And then on the following year, we'll have like try some experimentation probably again.
We'll start possibly getting features that we've been asking for. This year, I don't think we'll get any new features, like no tournament mode, you know, none of that stuff. I don't think we'll get, we're just going to I think they're going to try to hash out all the things that they currently have and try to get them as, you know, efficient and just, you know, just in a fashion that at least the community will be happier about. So, you know, I'll be cool with that. You know, I don't need some of those things like right away, but I definitely need those improvements to what's currently out there, like in a very quick way. So
I'll close out the show by mentioning that Maiev's Shadow Song is another fucking elf. And why is Maiev's Shadow Song
the portraits?
Yeah. Why is there another elf?
Well, elves are hot.
Oh, that's right. Appeal. Oh, we forgot to even talk about like the whole, you know, just destroying rogues. So they give you a skin. They give you a skin by just like removing any kind of viable rogues. Remember we were talking about that. But this is an elf. Okay, I didn't even realize that was an elf.
Her name is Maiev Shadow Song.
Okay, it's got to be enough. You're right.
She's the Illidan's. She's actually Illidan's nemesis.
Yeah.
So maybe we see Illidan come back in Secrets of Un'Goro. Like they unearth him from under whatever the fuck that place is. They're like, yeah, dude, Warden.
We need more. We just need more skins, man. I think more skins would be more fun.
A bait to get people to buy skins, right? So they nerf Rogue to hell. They make Rogue absolute garbage.
So you never see it.
Free skin.
You never see it.
You have this free skin. You're like, this is so cool, but Rogue sucks. But I really like this skin. Maybe I'll buy a skin for another class that's actually playable. It's a marketing bait, dude. You're getting scammed right here. Skamaz is probably just on their teams.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, guys. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up. This was, a little longer than expected, but it's to be expected that we were going to talk about some balance things too. But this is a bonus episode for you guys. All the patrons too. You know, I'll be putting it on there. Don't worry. This doesn't count towards the page. The patron for per episode, so it's a freebie. But want to thank Firebat for dropping in. I know he just got back literally from Trinity, guys. So I really appreciate you coming and joining the discussion.
Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun. A lot of heated discussion.
Yeah, definitely. Noxious, of course. Thanks for doing the show. And because I know that you've got kids that are sleeping right now. I've got kids knocking on my door to put them to bed. So I think we pretty much have to finish now. So thanks a lot, man.
Pleasure.
All right, guys. Well, and for those of you that are tuning in, thanks for watching. I know we didn't give you much notice. So, you know, hopefully you were able to catch a bunch of it. If you don't, I'll put it up on YouTube, youtube.com/ChamMV tomorrow. And then, you know, you can just check it out. Also, I'll put it on iTunes too for all the audio folks if you did miss it. But until then, that's going to be it for us today. And we'll see you next Wednesday for the Normal Value Talent Show. Until then, see ya.
Peace.